You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
All right, the one podcast that you need to listen to each day. Welcome, no more preamble. Let's get to the news. My name is Rakesh Sharma. This is Stories of the Day.
Editor's Pick of the Day.
Well, if you haven't listened to the Digging Deeper podcast yet, we are talking about the possibility of an India-US trade war, and this is in close relation to that. PTI has reported that NASSCOM has cautioned that any move by the US to limit visas for tech workers will weaken American companies that depend on these work permits to fill skill gaps and put jobs at risk. Now, why are we saying this? Because, well, the US has come out with a statement which says that it is mulling 10 to 15% cap on H-1B visas for nations that compel foreign companies to store data locally. So India has recently come out saying, we want to, you know, localize our data here and keep them all here. And it has obviously angered a whole bunch of American companies, most notably MasterCard. And Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, was also not in favor of this. So there is also an ongoing trade war-ish between the two countries when India has imposed retaliatory tariffs on 28 sectors of goods, etc., etc. Now, the new tactic that the United States government is saying is, of the 85,000 H-1B visas that we grant every year, almost 70% of them go to Indians. But now we are thinking of cutting it down to about 10 to 15% because, you know why? You insist on data localization, you insist on these tariffs, so we are left with no other choice. So is this just a tactic or is this something that is actually going to pan out? We don't know. NASSCOM, which represents IT majors like TCS, Infosys, Wipro, as well as smaller tech firms, has noted that there is no official confirmation yet on the development from the US government on the matter and that we are still waiting for clarity. NASSCOM said in a statement, and I quote, "If US policy make it more difficult to hire advanced tech workers, it will only weaken the US companies that depend on them to help fill their skill gaps," unquote. Now, such a move, if in fact implemented, could truly have a major impact in the Indian IT services industry as well. It is, of course, a $150 billion industry, and we all know of that brother or cousin who has gone off to the US on an H-1B visa based on his employment or her employment in Infosys, TCS, etc., etc. And India has relied on these H-1B visas for the longest time. But increasing visa scrutiny over the past few years has compelled Indian IT services companies to ramp up local hiring in the United States. NASSCOM, in fact, said in April this year that the number of unfilled jobs stood at 7.5 million in the United States. Of these, 67%, that is almost 2 in every 3 jobs, required specific technical skills. Now, the US citizenry, I suppose, did not quite have these skills, which is precisely why they had to turn to Indian companies. Now, acknowledging that Indian nationals accounted for a majority of these approved H-1B visas in FY 2017, NASSCOM said this was a testimony to their skill set. So it is also a bit of a catch-22. There are jobs that need to be filled in the United States, and there aren't enough qualified people locally to fill those jobs, which is why they depend on Indian nationals, and it also works out cheaper for them. And on the other hand, they also want to tell India, who's boss, by telling them that, you know what, if you have all these tariffs and all these issues about data localization, we can show you where we can pinch you. So it is a bit of a tug of war between these two countries, and how this will resolve itself is something we'll be watching closely, especially in the wake of Mike Pompeo, who's going to be visiting the country in the next week, and there'll be talks that'll be held in New Delhi ahead of the G20 summit. So how this all pans out is going to be of extreme interest, not just to you and me, because we all know people who are in the US on these visas, but also for US companies, because ultimately this is going to hurt them. In another saga that we've been watching closely here, construction major L&T, which is in the midst of a hostile takeover of Mindtree, has secured 3 board positions at the IT services firm, giving it a firm control over the company. IT firm Mindtree today said L&T CEO and MD SN Subramanian will join its board as non-executive director with effect from the 16th of July. The Nomination and Remuneration Committee and the Board of Directors of Mindtree have also approved and recommended the appointments of Jayant Damodar Patil and Rammurthy Shankar Raman as non-executive directors, subject to shareholders' approval. The BSE filing went on to note that Subroto Bakchi, who retires by rotation at the 20th AGM on the 16th of July 2019, has not offered himself for reappointment. The committee has also approved the appointment of Prasanna Rangacharya and Deepa Gopalan Vadhva as independent directors. At the end of March 2019, Mindtree had 8 members on its board, of which 4 were independent directors. In March, L&T had said it will buy 20.32% stake in Mindtree from VG Siddharth and his coffee enterprise for over 3,000 crore rupees, making India's first ever hostile takeover bid in the IT space. Since then, L&T has steadily increased its holding in the Bangalore-based tech firm to about 30%. As we've kept reporting, L&T has consistently been buying small shares, and now it is about 30% in Mindtree. L&T is currently in the process of an open offer to buy an additional 31% stake. The open offer, with an offer price of 980 rupees per share, opened on the 17th of June, just a few days ago, and will close on the 28th of June. If that offer is subscribed fully, the engineering behemoth, that is L&T, will end up with a 66.32% stake in Mindtree. In the saga that we followed most, there comes another new development. Jet Airways rallied almost 150% in intraday deals today on the National Stock Exchange, with the stock hitting a high of 82 rupees 75 paise. It, of course, trimmed those gains to settle at about 73 rupees 55 paise, still up a massive 122%. On the BSE, the scrip ended the day 93% higher at about 64 rupees. What triggered this rally? Well, it comes ahead of the order from the NCLT on an insolvency plea filed by the State Bank of India, which of course leads the consortium of bankers to which Jet Airways owes a lot of money, and it's going to be heard later in the day today. A Dutch district court-appointed administrator, Rocco Mulder, through lawyers, has moved the NCLT to file an intervention application in the insolvency matter of Jet Airways, but the tribunal did not allow it and asked them to argue the matter on the 20th of June, that is, today. The Engineers and Pilots Association also moved the tribunal, seeking to be made parties to the ongoing insolvency matter. This, according to a report on Business Standard. It also went on to say that even apart from that particular event, analysts attributed the sharp rally to the counter moving out of the futures and options segment upon the expiry of contracts on the 27th of June, and therefore triggering a short covering today. Nearly 121.29 lakh shares had been traded on the BSE, as compared to an average of 23.92 lakh shares traded on the BSE in the past 2 weeks. Speaking of gains, shares of Anil Ambani-led Reliance ADAG Group companies also closed with gains today. Shares of Reliance Infrastructure were up 34.74%, Reliance Capital up 27.75%, Reliance Power up 26.32%. It was a wild day of swings for another counter that has been experiencing some troubles over the past few weeks and months. Yes Bank shares fell as much as 4.3% on the BSE this morning, extending its bearish run after credit agency Moody's put the company under review for a downgrade. This is, of course, the first time in 5 years that Yes Bank share prices are down to double digits. Analysts have been downgrading Yes Bank stocks on concerns over further deterioration in its asset quality. Moody's investors this month warned of a potential downgrade on Yes Bank's credit rating, citing its sizable exposure to weaker companies in the shadow banking sector, that is the NBFC sector. Yes Bank, of course, as we have recently reported, plans to raise $1.2 billion over 18 months to bolster its capital buffer through a mix of public and private share sales. This was also reported on Bloomberg. Of course, towards the end of the day, the stock of Yes Bank closed about 11% higher at 114 rupees 55 paise, but the 98.75 rupees mark that we saw today was the first time in 5 years that Yes Bank stock saw double digits. Well, the government is planning to significantly cut down the number of approvals required for opening kirana shops or tiny eateries amid demands to move to a single window regime to reduce red tape and make it easier to do business at the grassroots. Currently, opening a store requires 28 clearances, ranging from GST registration to a license under the Shops and Establishment Act, as well as those for insecticides and yada, yada, yada. Similarly, a dhaba or a restaurant requires about 17 approvals. In contrast, there are only 4 clearances required to open a restaurant in countries like China and Singapore. The government has now said it will make life simple for entrepreneurs as it races against time to get India into the top 50 in the ease of doing business ranking globally, something clearly that this government is quite obsessed with. The Economic Times carries this report. Libra, which is the cryptocurrency to be unveiled by Facebook next year, will not be available in India, according to a person directly in the know, because, well, current regulations do not permit use of the banking network for blockchain currency transactions. We know that there are threats that if you use cryptocurrency in any way, you could be put in jail for 10 years. The social network's digital wallet called Calibra won't be available in markets where, quote, cryptocurrencies are banned or Facebook is restricted from operating in. This is what one of the people who spoke to the Economic Times said. The other person said Facebook so far has not filed any application with the RBI for its cryptocurrency in India. So, a representative for Facebook told Economic Times that they expect Calibra to work on WhatsApp and be available globally. The company, as we know, on Tuesday announced plans for the launch of the cryptocurrency by wholly owned eponymous subsidiary Calibra in 2020. Now, an interesting aside about the name Libra itself. Libra is, of course, the cryptocurrency of Facebook. But about 4 years ago, there was another cryptocurrency that was launched by two brothers who have sort of been the nemesis to Zuckerberg. But of course, Zuckerberg has beaten them consistently. This is, of course, the Winklevoss twins, who had initially claimed that Facebook was their idea, etc., etc. And you've seen all about these two brothers on the social network as well. And these two brothers, incidentally, have come out with a cryptocurrency almost 4 years ago called, well, Gemini. Now, of course, it is our turn to see which of these signs is going to be a stronger influence on us. But I'm sort of prepared to bet my money on the balance and not the twins. There's a new development in the Leela saga. ITC trying to take over Leela for a song is what the promoters and JM Financial ARC are saying. The promoters of Hotel Leela Venture and JM Financial ARC, which holds 26% in the bankrupt hotel group, told NCLT that ITC's bid to stall their deal with Brookfield is an attempt to wrest the control of the premium hotel chain through the backdoor. The counsel for JM Financial said that even after knowing the financial health of Leela, ITC has been picking up stake in the company between 2008 and 2013, acquiring 13%. The NCLT will, of course, hear about this problem on the 24th of June. Now, ITC and LIC, by the way, which owns 2% in Leela, had moved SEBI, saying they should block the deal with Brookfield, saying that this 3,950 crore rupee deal will leave the holding company a mere skeleton because the deal involved selling all the four important properties of the Leela in Delhi, Udaipur, Bangalore and Madras, and a land parcel in Agra, and that only leaves the Mumbai property, which anyway is in litigation with the airports authority. After this, SEBI said to Leela and JM Financial to, you know, sort of put this deal on hold with Brookfield. As of now, ITC owns 8.7% in Hotel Leela Venture and claimed that its holding came down from 11.78% after JM converted debt into equity after the banks sold their loans to JM Financial ARC. So the Company Act provisions recognize only those with 10% or more non-promoters as minority shareholders who can sue the management for oppression and mismanagement. So there's a lot of cleverness happening on both sides. So we'll see what the NCLT says on the 24th. Flipkart has said that its seller financing program called Growth Capital will now allow over 1 lakh sellers to avail credit from 10 NBFCs within 48 hours. These loans will be charged an interest rate of 9.5%. So, sellers can avail loans worth 3 crore rupees in as little as 48 hours. Shaktikant Das said the Indian economy has been clearly losing traction and needs a decisive monetary policy to promote growth. He also voted for a 25 basis points rate cut along with other five members at the MPC meet earlier this month, as we know. Das, as per the minutes of the June 3rd to the 6th MPC, said that since the last meeting of the rate setting panel in April 2019, greater clarity has emerged about the evolving macroeconomic situation. He went on to say, and I quote, "In sum, growth impulses have clearly weakened. While the headline inflation trajectory is projected to remain below 4% throughout 2019-2020, even after considering the expected transmission of the past two policy rate cuts. Keeping in view the evolving growth inflation dynamics, there is a need for decisive monetary policy action, and therefore, my vote was to reduce the policy repo rate by 25 basis points," unquote. It was, of course, the third time in a row that the RBI cut the key lending rate by 25 BPS. In other key headlines from Indian business, Dhruva, which is a startup, has raised $130 million from Viking Global Investors, NVP and others, and is now the latest unicorn in India. It is, of course, a data protection startup. Turning to other big news coming out of India, four of the six MPs in Chandrababu Naidu's Telugu Desam party have today joined the BJP. This evening, the Rajya Sabha members met Vice President Venkaiah Naidu, who is also the chairman of the Rajya Sabha, and gave him a letter that said they have decided to merge the TDP's legislature party with the BJP with immediate effect. Who are these lawmakers? YS Chowdhury, CM Ramesh, Garika Poti Mohan Rao, TG Venkatesh. They were all accompanied by the new BJP working president, JP Nadda. Party Chief N. Chandrababu Naidu, who's of course vacationing with his family in the States as of now, said the crisis was not new and his workers have nothing to be nervous about, but he, quote, condemned the BJP's attempts to weaken the TDP. He was also quoted as saying that we have fought with the BJP only for special category status and the state's interests. We sacrificed central ministers for special status, unquote. The move will, of course, add to the BJP's strength in the Rajya Sabha, where the NDA has only 102 members in the 245-seat house. It would also give the BJP a toehold in another southern state. As of now, we know the lotus has bloomed only in Karnataka properly, and this might just be another place for the lotus to say hello. NDTV has reported that the government has taken a big step towards opening up a second production line for advanced diesel-electric submarines for the Indian Navy. As part of the Project 75i project, leading international submarine manufacturers who are interested in the 45,000 crore rupee project will need to work with an Indian strategic partner, which will construct the submarines in India. Sacked Gujarat Kada IPS officer Sanjeev Bhatt, who took on Prime Minister Narendra Modi over the Gujarat riots, has been sentenced to life imprisonment today in a 30-year-old case of custodial death. This sentence by the Jamnagar court comes just a week after the Supreme Court had denied Mr. Sanjeev Bhatt's petition to examine additional witnesses. Sanjeev Bhatt is currently in custody for an alleged drug planting case from 1996 after the top court declined to interfere with a Gujarat High Court order refusing bail. This custodial death case for which Bhatt has been sentenced dates back to 1989 when I was a wee child, when he was posted as the additional superintendent of police in Jamnagar district. He had then detained approximately 150 people during a communal riot, and one of those people arrested, whose name was Prabhudas Vaishnani, had died in a hospital after his release. This Vaishnani's brother had complained to the police, saying Sanjeev and six other policemen had accused them of torturing Prabhudas Vaishnani while in detention. Of course, we know more famously that Bhatt has had several run-ins with the BJP government. The IPS officer had alleged that Narendra Modi, then Chief Minister of Gujarat, was complicit in the riots of 2002. He had said that Mr. Modi, in a meeting, had said, "Let the Hindus vent their anger for a little bit." Since then, he's of course been having troubles with the dispensation, and now it appears he is looking at life imprisonment. How this story evolves is something we'll be keenly watching. Turning very quickly to world business news, Iran has shot down a US drone and has escalated tensions. Iran shot down a United States surveillance drone early Thursday, both nations have said. Tehran claimed that the aircraft had violated its airspace, but the US military said it was over international waters near the Persian Gulf. Is this the trigger that leads to escalating tensions, especially with an already hawkish John Bolton in charge of affairs and, like I've discussed before, wars being able to win elections? Is this something that could snowball into something horrific? This is an evolving story. We'll of course keep you updated. U.S. stock futures are indicating a sharply higher Thursday open today as the Fed's dovish stance fuels hopes for future interest rate cuts. The Dow and S&P 500 are poised to erase the last of May's sharp losses. It was a difficult May for Wall Street. Nasdaq is almost close to doing the same as well. A divided Fed held the line on rates and suggested formally that no cuts are coming in 2019. The decision came amid divisions over what is ahead and still leaves open the possibility that policy loosening could happen before the end of the year, depending on how conditions unfold. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said that despite reports that President Donald Trump was looking to demote or fire him, he doesn't plan on leaving the central bank anytime soon. He said, and I quote, "I think the law is clear that I have a 4-year term and I fully intend to serve it." That is, of course, depending on if people are following the law. I don't think that has been the case in America for a while now. Which brings us to Trump. What is he saying? Ex-Fed governor has in fact said Trump could cause market turmoil if he removes Powell. He, of course, went on to remove the FBI chief. He was almost going to remove the special prosecutor, Robert Mueller. He has fired people that he doesn't like. He has called anybody he doesn't like or pieces of news he doesn't like as fake news and has never really truly believed in the word of the law. So I won't be surprised if Jerome Powell is in fact fired. And that is precisely the concern that was also expressed by one of the ex-governors of the Fed. More news from Trumpland. Trump is going to be hosting Trudeau of Canada at the White House. The leaders are expected to discuss ratifying a revised trade deal and whether the US can assist with the release of two Canadians held in China. Canada has, of course, been caught in the middle of this whole US-China tensions after detaining Huawei CFO Meng Wanzhou in December in Vancouver, if you remember that story. And of course, Mexico has just signed the new version of the NAFTA deal, which they call some name that I don't know. And clearly, the Trump administration is thinking of this as a victory. And will Canada follow suit is the question. And that is one of the reasons and one of the points of discussion that Trudeau and Trump will be having at the White House. Meanwhile, the US Senate has voted on Saudi arms sales. Lawmakers from both parties hope to stymie a plan by the Trump administration to sell $8 billion in weapons to both Saudi Arabia and the UAE. It is unlikely that the vote will get the two-thirds support that is needed to override a presidential veto. Of course, the Trump administration has never really directly addressed the involvement of Crown Prince MBS in the murder slash assassination alleged of Jamal Khashoggi, the Washington reporter who was killed in Istanbul. So, is it going to be the giving up of the freedom of expression for an $8 billion worth deal in weapons? Well, knowing Trump, I have a hunch what it's going to be. But of course, we'll see if this indeed gets passed by the Senate. Student groups have warned that they would mobilize again in Hong Kong if key demands are not met, including that chief executive Carrie Lam resign and that the semi-autonomous territory scrap the extradition bill, which would allow suspects to be sent to the mainland. We've been speaking about this. Hong Kong introduced an extradition bill, which, according to which, any dissenters or anybody who was suspected of a crime could be sent to mainland China, where they might not have recourse to the same kind of legal access that they would have in Hong Kong. So this has obviously been thought of as oppressing freedom of speech and oppressing dissent. And there have been, as I've explained to you many times, several agitations in Hong Kong. And now student groups have warned that they would mobilize again if these things do not take place, which are the things Carrie Lam should resign and this bill should be scrapped. The former president of Interpol has confessed to kickbacks, accepting bribes. Meng Hongwei, who disappeared into Chinese custody about 3 years ago, is likely to be convicted after a Chinese court said that he admitted to taking more than $2 million in bribes. Meng's France-based wife has also suggested that the case was politically motivated. Very quickly, a tech roundup. Facebook and Cognizant are getting smeared by whistleblowers who have exposed an office of great horrors with stories of death, theft, and dirt. This according to a story on Business Insider. Facebook moderators broke their NDAs, disclosing the rather disturbing state of affairs to The Verge magazine. Employees shared details of unhygienic conditions, sexual harassment, and fights breaking out in the offices. Cognizant told Business Insider India, and I quote, "Cognizant works hard to ensure a safe, clean, and supportive work environment for all our associates." But those stories tend to tell otherwise. What else has been happening in the world of tech, and what are the absolute most important things that you need to know today? Well, aside from that Facebook story, YouTube is considering big changes to its app and site after a report on Bloomberg highlighted how easy it was for kids left unsupervised to stumble on inappropriate content. This also according to a report on the Wall Street Journal. Samsung's Galaxy Fold smartphone is finally ready to hit the market after a lengthy delay. This according to the Courier Herald, quoting Samsung display executive Kim Seong-chul. While Seong-chul's words are somewhat reassuring, Samsung still does not have a new release date for the Galaxy Fold. And it was because of the problems that for the Samsung phone itself was having that Huawei also has delayed its own release of its folding phone, like I spoke about a few days ago. All right, and finally, in some interesting news that I read, The Conversation has carried this piece. The Conversation is, of course, a website where academics write accessible articles coming out of research to us lay people. So this one says, if you want to be happy and healthy and live longer, what do you have to do? Well, choose a conscientious partner. Your partner's personality can apparently influence your life in all sorts of ways. Well, I said apparently, you know this. It influences us in a lot of ways. For example, studies have shown that a conscientious partner is good for your health. This latest study from the University of Strathclyde also shows that they're good for your quality of life. So, if you want to live a happier, healthier, and longer life, choose your partner carefully. So, you know what? Your mother was right all along. That concludes the proceedings of today. Before I let you go, let's take a look at where we left things off on Dalal Street. It was a bumper day on the street. The BSE Sensex jumped 488.89 points or 1.25% to close at 39,601, while the Nifty 50 closed decisively above 11,800 levels at 11,831.8. Now we have formed what is called a long white day kind of candlestick pattern, and I will explain what that is tomorrow. Some of the big gainers today were banking, auto, metal, pharma and realty sectors. The broader markets also outperformed the frontliners today. Sun Pharma, IndusInd Bank and L&T were the great top gainers, including Yes Bank and Indiabulls Housing, Reliance Infrastructure and Reliance Capital, which also rallied 35 and 28% respectively. UPL, Wipro, Adani Ports, Britannia and Tech Mahindra were the losers today. That's it. You're all caught up. I'll see you first thing in the morning tomorrow with a morning walk down the Dalal Street and several other podcasts during the rest of the week. Here's hoping that you will also listen to our other podcast today, the Digging Deeper podcast, where we are discussing the possibility of the India-US trade war. So if you're confused and concerned, there are some answers on that podcast. Do write into us, mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com. To be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been a Money Control presentation.